First of all, thank you everyone who attend today this session, and I want to make two points here. First of all, to thank Office of the National Coordinator for this wonderful initiative about the federal health architecture, and secondly, to thank PHI for this opportunity to give this presentation here. And besides my name that you see over there, I want to acknowledge also all the other co-authors and actually co-leads in this effort of the federal health architecture and the themes particularly, and recognize also Steve Wagner there, which is the ONC coordinator for the federal health architecture overall. And it's not just these people that they participate in this lab domain effort. So. We are a group of people from different agencies, and they contribute, and we contribute to all these models that I'm going to present an overview and some more details. So particularly I want to acknowledge Dr. Lubin and Dr. Pollock from CDC for their contribution, and Dr. Fitch from DOD. And this is a more broad acknowledgement of not just the Office of National Coordinator and the Standards Interoperability Framework John acknowledged several times, but also the CDC, the Office of Surveillance Epidemiology, the Food and Drug Administration, the Office of the Commissioner that I'm working, DOD, CMS, National Library of Medicine, SSA, Veteran Affairs and Veteran Health Affairs, National Cancer Institute, SAMHSA, and HL7 groups, particularly some groups that we collaborated and we leveraged the work that they did. And there are particular domains in this area, the orders and observation, the architectural kind of domain, EHR work groups, and others. And this is an outline I want to walk you through today. And these are the main sections I want to give more information. It's a kind of, I see this outline as more like a horizontal kind of overview I'm going to give you about what is federal health architecture, what ONC does, how this relates to standards interoperability framework, and then going into a more vertical kind of direction and dimension, so be more specific about some use cases, particularly for public health, and why we want to leverage this federal health architecture and the work we did for the lab for public health. So first of all, some background about the federal health architecture. And in order to give this kind of perspective, I want to echo also what I've heard yesterday in the Global Health Informatics group, that one of the major things that we need to consider for a global health informatics kind of approaches and collaborations is the architectural part of how we leverage the knowledge in different domains and different sections, how we make inventories of cases and domains. So architecture is a very important aspect of how we would like to benefit public health. And even further, what Dr. Foldi said today about the lessons that we have to gain from the architectural evolution in healthcare, and how we can leverage this for public health. These are important things that I want just to emphasize why this wonderful initiative from Office of National Coordinator gave some outcomes that we present today. So the purpose of the project, specifically for this that we call information modeling under federal health architecture, is this two bullets that you see over there. So first, in this level that we call the logical level, how we can think about the information models in order to address this, to address consistency among the different models, and leverage this for different cases that we recognize as federal partners. So that's the one part. The other part, going even further after we have the first layer, is to address now the semantic layer. It's similar how we think about the language. So you take care of the syntax of the language, and then you need to go more to the content and to the semantics part. So this is how the terminology models will help the model even further and actually link this to particular parts, scientific areas as the lab informatics area that I'm going to address later. And finally, this is not just the federal exchanges between DOD or VA or CDC and FDA. It's more a wider kind of approach with what's going on of exchanges of the state with the Fed, with a local, and of course with industry partners. And we're going to give examples for that as well. And here, in the last part, you see the major lead partners on that, which is VA, DOD, and THHS. Similarly to this wonderful presentation I had the opportunity today in the plenary lecture from Todd Park, that he gave the perspective of all these kind of partners, which is not just DHHS, but it's DOD, it's VA, and other agencies, that they are putting their data there, and we need to find innovation and solution for this data. So one part that we need to address first for this data to have this creative solution, so of course the architecture, and that's what we're going to talk today. So some background of what's the current status and progress so far of the domains that we're working there. So as I said before, the Federal Health Information Model is a logical platform-independent model. And platform-independent, for those people that are not so technically focused on their professions, is more that you don't care about the implementation. You care more about this higher level before the implementation, before you make this specific to a solution. And then divide the health into domains of information. So John gave a very nice presentation before how the NIM did this work for different departments. So the justice benefit a lot from that. And actually it's a good example from us how we can take these important parts from NIM and adapt also to this complex health domain that we have. Because it's common sense that it's much more complex than what was addressed in NIM so far. And for this reason needs what John mentioned before, complementarity, and find these particular elements that we need for our specific goals. So the domains that we already modeled, and you see over there on the left, are the person security and privacy eligibility, enrollment, coordination of benefits, and we have the behavioral health assessment problems, the allergies, and we're targeting that this Federal Health Architecture Initiative, especially the FIMS model, will cover around 60 models of them. The domains that currently being modeled is the one that we're talking today about, the lab, medications, orders, and there are some ones already scheduled, vital signs and encounters. And finally, some domains suggested because of specific research that we did mapping the domains to specific needs of the agencies and what Standards Interoperability tries to do now. So we found that, yes, there is consumer informatics component there we want to cover further. So telemedicine, there are medical devices that are getting a lot of awareness since the work that is going on now at FDA, it may leverage also similar work going on with electronic health records. So the IOM report, it was that FDA definition about devices may be expanded more to cover parts of electronic health records. So medical device is an important domain. And finally, public health. And there are some current efforts that we may start this domain pretty soon in parallel probably with the lab. And this is the background of this domain. The most people that came there and these efforts that already started, they didn't came from scratch. So there is a lot of work that we want to leverage, and actually we leverage from the previous HITSP efforts that they started back 5-6 years ago. And of course, what I mentioned before, HL7 standards and groups that they work in similar directions. Loink, SNOMED, that they contribute a lot to the semantic part, and of course regulations and policies that are coming along with each domain, specifically for the lab, is the CLIA, the CAP, and all the other policy related that we need to take into account when we build models, and we address all this in the process and the flows that we want to model. And finally, there are also networks across the country. And this that I call there as ICLN is the Integrated Consortium for Laboratory Networks that is an umbrella of networks among different agencies like FERN, like LRN, And this is work that also we had the opportunity to invite Tim Morris from Emory University and give us a good overview and keep a good interface with them as well. So that's how we were trying to leverage that. And finally, this that we want to do is to validate this existing laboratory data exchange and interoperable systems against the products of ONC initiatives. And as was mentioned before, there is this standard interoperability framework with initiatives that are coming again and again, and there are new ones besides the laboratory results interface that already started. There is the public health reporting, and this is something that I'll give a little more details later. So, specifically now for the lab, let's go more to the vertical kind of dimension. So, because I think I gave you a lot of big picture points there, and I want you now to get more focus on what are we doing as in the lab domain. So, the focus is on lab data exchange information, including orders and results, lab reports, specimen information, subject demographics, and then develop scenarios and cases for exchange of lab data. And of course, don't develop these scenarios from scratch. We have all these subject matter experts from each agency that they give a specific way to address the cases and then enrich our models. So the goal finally is to have the logical model and recommend the lab terminology at the end and standard vocabulary. We have terminologies that they collaborate with us from National Library of Medicine and from other organizations that they help us in this other task. Specifically for the purpose for today's lecture, we want to make sure that this is so relevant to public health informatics and cases. And we highlight there are several kind of categories of cases that is not limited, of course, to genetics, to diseases, to public health laboratory data exchanges, to different types of surveillance from active, syndromic, and passive, laboratory interoperability, and of course response networks. A particular case that doesn't look like it's more in the health domain, but it's part that it can be also in probably in the future. And here are more details how, and actually this is something that was presented to the Federal Health Architecture and Office of National Coordinator, how the lab can be a particular interesting case in this that we call architecture, and how we can build interfaces with NIM, for example, the NIM health domain, which is always in the antenna of Office of National Coordinator, and this effort started early 2010, as I remember, and then finally DHHS made a whole plan for that, and as I see from what John says, we're moving forward, and I'm really happy about that. So that's how we are trying to address and build the platform independent layer, and this has to do also an additional task that we're looking forward is to do more harmonization with NIM health domain when we're ready. One thing I want to mention to you is that NIM still needs to leverage the previous effort in the health domain, and again, it's HL7, PHP, and all this work that has been done that defines what is a complex health domain interface. And finally, at the end, we want to be more specific. And this is that we are, you see all the acronyms over there. I hope I didn't bombardize you with all these abbreviations. But we call this a model-driven health technology. And this that model-driven health tools that this that we're trying to do is to address to specific now implementation. You see there are particular specific terms like the CDA, for example, for health level 7. That is something that we want to align with our lab cases, although we're not there yet. And other parts of CDA, the exchange implementation, and you see even more technical terms there, what kind of even programming language we want to use in order to address this in details. So there's a two parallel efforts. One is in the upper layer, that is probably more what you see this domain is doing. And then the other layer is a specific group that works in more in the implementation levels. So this that I promised before, and I have also a slide that's a little more illustrative than what you see over there, is about the standards interoperability framework. There's a wonderful session tomorrow, and I invite you also to come over and attend that. It's about a new initiative that the standards interoperability framework has to do with public health reporting that started actually from a lab initiative over there at standards interoperability framework. So this that Office of National Coordinator tries to do with this now, started early this year, is to start different initiatives for lab, for transition of care, for provider directories, that makes sense for different partners to collaborate with the ultimate goal to leverage from the use cases in the inception of these cases all the way to the certification part. So this is a little different. This is quite different what the Federal Health Architecture does, which looks more like in the upper layers. And I'll show the diagram how this matches. So this is organized into initiatives. One, this that I mentioned before, the lab. The other is the public health reporting probably coming. And so the goal for this particular, however, lab results initiative, as you see over there, is a little different what you've seen for public health purposes. So because they want to focus on specific cases and target them all the way to the certification, they focus directly to ambulatory case. And this is for many reasons. When you try to address a case and to go through an implementation guide, you need to be very specific. Finally, this that they're trying to do is to leverage this case for similar other possibilities for lab results interfaces. And we have plenty of them, as the most of you know already. Probably I can see a lot of lab experts and informatics people here. So that's the similarity with the standards interoperability laboratory interface. We call this LRI, so it's even better in a way to say without. So we have worked with them meticulously to map what we've done, what they've done, and we consider them as a subset of our models, since, as I said, we focus in the big picture and they're focusing in a very narrow case. So they may, for example, need less data elements and less terminology efforts than we need. So we always check with them, and this is part of the integration process that's going on now at Standards Interoperability. And there's a lot of restructuring there, as I know, after directors left, like David Blumenthal and Dr. Friedman at the OCS. So it's how you can integrate this together. Actually, we have a new Federal Health Architecture lead, and she's going to probably get to a full plan about all this coming. Collaborating with Doug Friesman, of course, and the standards interoperability. And now here, to give a little more high level how this map together, and this is still a conceptual kind of picture, in order, first of all, to show you down there in the use cases, how you start for the standards interoperability from the use case, and you go all the way horizontally to the certification and testing. So this is how usually the standards interoperability framework works. Target and nail down a use case, go through the harmonization, implementation, and reference implementation to the certification. Now, where FIM fits to that and where we contribute more in the higher levels, in the architectural levels. So we bring the different business cases that probably SNI can find as useful to use for their purposes, and we working on this that we call logical information model. You can say, although this is not exactly accurate, there are a lot of some kind of overlap there, that we're working more in the fundamentals of the architecture and the logical model, and they're working more in the use cases all the way down to the implementation. But as I said, there is quite overlap there, and it's not an exact thing to what you see there. As we're trying just to give you a high level picture, so you don't confuse yourself when you think about the one initiative and the other initiative, that they actually integrate together. And here is a little more confusion to add, but at least to give you a sample of the work that we're doing in regular meetings that we have in a weekly basis. And this is what we're trying to do, is to build models. So Great. We have a lot of data up there that, as mentioned in the plenary lectures today, we can leverage, we can create innovations. Now we need to make sure that we put them in a way that we can have these models for our information systems and link them to EHRs and all these that meaningful use wants. Here you see a specific snapshot, and think that this that I'm presenting to you now is something like 10 or 20 times less than is the actual model that we're working. So it's a kind of very big model with a lot of classes. Just to navigate you what's going on there, different colors mean something. It's actually coming from this that we call in Health Level 7 reference information model. So if you see a red color, it means more like this is an action that inside the model you need to model specifically. When you see more like a yellow color, it means that this is a role that the actor needs to accomplish. And you don't see probably here the blue color, which is more the actor role, and the participation, which is more the. So there is a way that we're trying to do a match with what HL7 does in order to leverage this information and to be somehow in a good alignment with them. One thing to point there about Health Level 7 is, although we're trying to be in alignment, we're going one step further. We're trying to be more specific in federal kind of exchanges. So that's how we're addressing this. And currently, we're not working in all these kind of standards that they have there in different versions. We're focusing more in 2.x because most of the agencies, for those that you are familiar with HL7, they are still in 2.x kind of versions. But we're thinking for the reference information model as a future alignment we need to do so we can address version 3 of HL7 that gives more functionality, interoperability, as you may know already. And now I'm going to go even with a couple of cases a little more vertical in the last part of my presentation. And I'm going to present a couple of cases that, first of all, we worked for in the lab domain. And second, we believe that there are some public health components there that we can leverage. And I feel we feel that this is a contribution to public health informatics arena as well. So here, this that you see over there is how we can integrate a lab informatics system with public health goals and particular processes, and how we can do that with integrating this with a clinic and the EHR systems, and make this interface as an important bi-directional communication portal to bring information, to give information. And the way that we structure that, some of you are already familiar, we call this business process flow diagrams. We use particular languages for that. Sometimes it's called UML, sometimes called BPMN. But the main point is that the way that it works is in different lanes you identify the actors, and then inside these different lanes you show what are the processes that these actors do and how they interface with the other lanes or the other actors or the other organizations. And this is particularly useful when you like to address a case and to target exactly where the information model that you build, where it fits in this kind of flow. The part that I think it's more interesting is that we find that there's a lot of opportunity here in this juncture that from the lab there is a flow for the public health agency for different reasons, to do analysis, analytical part, to do investigation, and to do other kind of processes that the public health agency needs. Still, this is in a higher level, and as you can imagine, you can take just this lane and make other five lanes, so you can make this more clear. How does this work? So this is, we call this a generic case, how the business diagram and the clinic and the EHR system can integrate together. That was actually presented at AAAS conference last February. And here is another component, another case that, again, it has a public health component, and also it's a very useful case that we're working now in order to, let's say, extend our models and capture genetic cases. In genetic cases, you already know, it's growing, and we have more tests and better prices for doing genetic tests, and this is a particular new area that we want to capture as well. So in this part, we saw the flow, and that's something that we worked again during our meetings to find out what's the flow that, and what are the unique elements that genetic case has that are different than the other lab cases. And you may identify a lot of them, other that they have more to do with family history. So genetic case has good target and focus on that. The huge amount of data that we want to identify, we're going to source, store, or recreate. So there are particular uniqueness for genetic case that we want to make sure we capture. So in brief, this that we capture here is that in the beginning, the physician and the patient is that, let's say, they start the whole thing about collecting the information and start the process of ordering the test. Then we have the specimen collection in a different kind of lane and part than the lab domain or the lab lane. So the specimen collection comes first outside the lab, and then here we're doing the test, the lab interpretation, and finally the results. Particularly useful for public health, which is, as was mentioned again before, and as you all know, is more in the, we try to focus in the public health informatics in the prevention part, and what's going on, let's say, before we have to do with treatment. So if we like to think about the public health informatics in this prevention part, this is why we need to have this kind of flow well designed, and actually having registries and mutation databases well linked and interoperable with the other processes. So finally, this that the ultimate result is, of course, to receive results, so both the counselor and the physician can make decisions and add into this that the lab already offered, the knowledge. We say sometimes why is so unique about the lab informatics, and it's actually that brings new knowledge and new information that you want to leverage in order to make decisions. And besides that, one very important thing is that it doesn't give you only results, but it gives, and I think this is high responsibility, it gives to the doctors and the physicians, it gives the limitations of the methods. This that we call how much certainty you have for these results and how accurate they are in order to include this in their decision process. So that's another case we're working currently, and it's a very good collaboration also with Dr. Lubin and Dr. Pollock on that from CDC. Finally, this is what I'm going to give you again as a high level, and I have some slides in the appendix if we want to extend this discussion later, and I think I'm almost on time to leave some time for questions. This is the Sentinel Initiative. And the Sentinel Initiative, it's about public health informatics for all these reasons we mentioned before. So if we want to think about public health that focuses on prevention than the treatment and focuses more in things that you want to do before the fact, active surveillance is a very interesting way to think about that. So what Sentinel does, and this is a nationwide kind of approach, collaboration with different partners across the nation, is let's say FDA and different labs at FDA or different different groups at FDA, they want to have an answer for a specific drug safety or for a specific device. So that in that way they query the coordinating center, and currently for the mini Sentinel is the Harvard Pilgrim Center. So they query the center, and then the center does all the work with the data partners and the big database of EHRs that they have in order to get an answer back to them on the other side. So this particular model is called active surveillance and has a public health component that has to do with lab as well. In the second year of the mini Sentinel, they are focusing also in the lab results. So part of the second year of the Sentinel is to do queries now for specific lab results. And you can think about them in a kind of very high level that we've seen. So, for example, what you need for a blood test or for your cholesterol. So you want some lab results for that. So they want to incorporate that in this active surveillance approach of the Sentinel. This is something that we are still discussing with the FDA partners and Dr. Oka that also participates on that, how we can help with our information models in doing this even a better interoperability. This is not just FDA. It's a very big network, first of all, in the federal partners between CMS, DOD, VA, and FDA. And second layer, very big names there, like Kaiser and other EHR database holders and academic institutions and other systems that they're working on that. So this may be another particular useful case. And finally, some future efforts that we are still planning for the last part of this lab interoperability that we think it's too broad to just leave it just in this what we have so far is to leverage more use cases. And you see some examples over there, genetic surveillance, of course, food, but also environmental emergency responses to capture what we always need to remember, accrediting related agencies, CLIA, COLA, CAP, and all these ones. Interface more with ONC and standards interoperability as a new initiative coming out about health queries. Intra-domains inside the FIM, so we're the lab, but we have a lot of interface with medication, pharmacy, and other domains going on there. So we don't think this as one part of the knowledge, but we think this more holistic kind of view. And of course, terminology integration, some work we need to do with clinical information models that Stan Huff and the other people over there in the health level 7, they're moving ahead, environmental and food safety exchanges, and finally, getting more to what HL7 progressed so far in more advanced standards like individual case safety report, clinical document architecture, reference information model, and get more alignment to that. And with that, I'm going to stop here. I have some material for Apendic. Thank you, Tonya. And if the discussion allows, I can show them later. But thank you very much.